It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There is a new quarterback in Dallas, and this one came as a surprise, a little Saturday night surprise, out of the blue, at a time when it appeared that Andy Dalton had plenty of options to weigh and would take his time to come to a decision. Because really, what else is going on right now? Andy Dalton agrees to terms with the Dallas Cowboys on a one-year deal with $3 million guaranteed, worth up to $7 million, which means he's probably going to have to play and have to play fairly well to get the full $7 million. It's a good deal for Dallas. They haven't had a veteran presence behind Dak Prescott since Mark Sanchez. Remember when Prescott said he learned more as a rookie from Sanchez than Tony Romo because Romo was injured and wasn't around. Mark Sanchez is the last veteran who has been helping Dak Prescott. So Andy Dalton walks right in and upgrades dramatically that situation behind Dak Prescott. I'm told there were five teams that seriously pursued Andy Dalton, but none provided, Chris, a clear path to a starting job. So Dalton looked at all the situations and he decided that Dallas was the best for him, the best team of the five that were pursuing him, the best coaching situation with Mike McCarthy learning more about the quarterback position, and then the best chance to win and maybe get to a Super Bowl, but although even the Cowboys haven't been to an NFC Championship game since 1995, but that's okay. And then you lay the foundation to become a free agent next year and get a starting job somewhere else because everyone knows you're going to hit the market. You can be factored into the planning. So that's why Dalton did it. And, again, it's one of those things that once it happens, you look at it and say, that kind of makes sense. We should have saw it coming, even though we didn't see it coming.
All right, thanks to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. It is going here on a re-entry Monday on Felger and Mass. Re-entry Mondays are presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Felger and Mass presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Felger here from our Townford Tire Studios in the A-hole chair. Murray and Maz on remote. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, so thank you so much. Murray, you?
Sane again.
Attaboy.
Color and life in my face and feeling somewhat optimistic.
So. Okay.
How did that happen?
How did that happen? Did that happen, Murray, because Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, is no longer our problem, your problem. He is now Dallas's problem.
That certainly played a part. I'd be lying if I said it didn't. It was mostly the anxiety attack and nervous breakdown I had on Friday night. But Saturday, finding that out, that Dalton is now a Dallas Cowboy, that was a win for the good guys and those of us with common sense. No Dalton in a Patriots uniform, and you two jackals don't get to blow me and everyone else into oblivion. That was a win.
Maz, what was your reaction?
Okay, so look, I know what Florio said there. I was not totally shocked, because I think there was some speculation at the end of last week that Dallas could be a suitor, and I thought, well, that makes sense. You got a court, you got a contract dispute going on there with Dak Prescott. Bring in a veteran guy, a sort of a security, that makes some sense. So I just, the one thing I hope with the Patriots is that this wasn't about money. I mean, $3 million. So I know you, Murray, and I had a disagreement at the end of last week about how far you'd extend for Andy Dalton.
Isn't that funny, though, that I'm sort of cut you off? Like, that was the exact threshold, right? I think I said, yeah. If it has a three before it, I'm out. Like, it's got to be lower than three. It landed right at three. Like, it was, like, that was, that turned out to be the threshold. I'm sorry, continue.
No, so look, I mean, I thought the base for him was going to be somewhere around $3 to $5 million, I think I said. It was on the low end of that. Again, that was just a guess, but there would be incentives in there. And so we were pretty close. We were in the ballpark at the very least. And I know that, again, I know that we disagree as to whether or not you do the $3 million. Right, Murray's no, you're no on the three, I'm a yes. Here's what I hope, though. I hope that this wasn't about $3 million for the Patriots. I hope that's that was not some sort of obstacle in their minds. That do you realize the Patriots ranked 30th in the NFL in payroll at quarterback? 30th.
Go ahead.
And the only two teams behind them are Jacksonville and Cincinnati, and the Bengals had the number one pick in the draft and obviously took Joe Burrow. So listen, I understand what you're saying when you say good, they're ranked 30th in the league at the position. But is that really a spot you want to be 30th in while your guards are making $25 million?
Oh, no, I didn't say good. I said go ahead. Give me your research. Give me these numbers. Because, you know, people look at the cap number and say, well, look at all the money they've spent at the position because of all of Brady's dead cap money. But in terms of actual dollars, they're you said the second lowest in the league, third lowest in the league?
Third lowest, yep. Jacksonville and Cincinnati are both at $1.5 million. Okay, now again,
that's
now
insane.
My guess is, I don't know, maybe that Bengals number is going to go up once they sign Burrow. Maybe that doesn't reflect the signing.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, Jacksonville's obviously very low. They got rid of Foles. They have Minshew, who's making nothing. And the Patriots are Hoyer and Stidham. That's it. So this does not include Brady's dead money, again, which is a cap figure. $3 million a quarterback, 30th in the league, that's okay.
Well,
so look, if Stidham can play, no one will care. In fact, Bill will get celebrated for it. But I hope, given some of the financial issues and the cap realities that they faced in the wake of Brady, I hope that this is not about money.
So Maz asks, they rank, and it will be, you know, when Burrow's contract kicks in, Maz, they're going to have more than $1.5 million on the book. So it's the second lowest real dollar figure at the position in the league. The Pats are spending less at quarterback than any team in the league other than Jacksonville and Gardner Minshew. Maz says, is that okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, I think if it speaks to their plan of what I think it's going to be, and that's dink and dunk and win on defense and win games 20-17, 16-13. I think that's what that's the kind of team that they're going to put out there next year.
So this is a question for you and the people of Boston. Once we've disinfected the hounds, you may release them, please, at 617-779-0985. I hear you, Murray. That's how they plan to win. Dink and dunk, defense, managed offense, system quarterback, etc. Have they taken it too far? Have they gone too far that their depth chart is a fourth-round pick, a guy, you know, you two hate. I think Brian Hoyer is a little better than you guys do, but you guys think is a total suck bum in Brian Hoyer. And then, as it stands, some undrafted rookie free agent. Have they taken it too far? Have they taken it to an extreme, Maz?
I mean, look, I think they have. Again, to me, that's just crazy. It's like, it's not the kind of position that you can totally skimp on. And again, I allow for the fact that if Stidham can play, then Bill's way ahead of us, and there's every chance that that is true. I would like, though, some sort of security there, and I think Hoyer blows. I'm sorry. And I just don't think Hoyer is a real threat to Stidham. The more I think about it, I think Gasper was on to something at the end of last week, which is to say that this is it's rigged. It's set up for Stidham so he can't fail. His only competition is Brian Hoyer, and I look at that and I think that that's a mistake. I think that they've taken it too far. $3 million at quarterback. I mean, a couple of years ago they were spending more than that at kicker.
So,
like,
yes.
And that just feels to me like that is going too far.
I think that's too far as well. I do. And there's no reason why you can't have another Brian Hoyer type, okay? If not Brian Hoyer, but, you know, Andy Dalton's a Brian Hoyer type. He's a low-end starter in the NFL, borderline starter, a 4A player. You know what I mean? Like another guy like that. And, boy, I think they are cutting it close. This also occurs to me. Something they have to manage, Maz and Murray, is the next guy. The next guy is in for a world of hurt because everyone's going to compare him to Brady, right? And you're really setting that next guy up. So the next guy has to be able to handle it. And Andy Dalton could handle it. I think Brian Hoyer can handle it. Are you putting too much on Stidham if he's the next guy after Brady? In other words, and I don't know why I'm just kicking this around in my head. Like, if they really believe in Stidham, and what they really believe is best for Stidham, he can't start week one. He can't be the next guy. The storyline for Stidham is so much better and such a softer landing for him. If he comes in and saves the day because Brian Hoyer sucks, or he comes in and saves the day, or they had to go to the kid because Andy Dalton sucked, you know, they're setting the kid up. They're putting a lot on him. I think there's a lot of pressure on him. If he goes in week one and is the guy and doesn't play well, and then they have to adjust from there, it's like, boy, that's how you, because those first impressions, right, Maz? Like that first image, that first thing you put out there sort of sticks with you. It stuck with Brady. It sticks with a lot of guys. And if he's the guy, boy, I mean, I almost think it makes more sense just to them, no matter whether he's earned it or not, to start Hoyer, and then, you know, whenever, within the first month or two, Stidham comes in and saves the day from Hoyer, and therefore Stidham's not the next guy. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah, you need someone there to be, you know, it's like a bad relationship, right, or an end of a relationship. You need someone for the rebound. There's got to be a rebound person in there in order to...
Sacrificial lamb.
Yes!
Is really more what it is.
Totally. Yeah, look, like, play the role of Pete Carroll from Parcells to Belichick.
Exactly.
You know, it's that sort of thing. And so, look, and I don't think it's beyond Bill to be that methodical, and I say contrived, and again, I mean that as, for planning purposes, to think that far ahead and say, you know, it's going to be... So he may go with Hoyer to start the year, which will serve multiple purposes. I, you know, and again, I do think this relates to Dalton on some level, because I think Dalton would have given them a longer runway. And so that, you know, to me, with Stidham, that cannot do anything but help if you ease his transition in. And I just think, you know, how they manage that kid now, and Bill knows what he's doing, but how they manage him is huge.
Yeah, but there's a flip side to that, though. If he lights it up, say they're able to have a training camp and everything is basically, you know, on schedule, and he lights it up and Hoyer is Hoyer, you're then going to start Hoyer week one. Then you're going to, I think, you know, put a dent in that kid's confidence just going into the season. So I think it really depends on how he looks in camp. If he sucks in camp and they realize, like, ooh, he ain't ready, then sure, go with Hoyer. But if he's ready to go and looks the part, you got to start him week one.
I just think there's a piece to this that I assume Bill's considering, and he should consider, and that is the expectation of the next guy and the standard that next guy is going to be held to. That the next guy is going to be held to Brady. I mean, all these guys are. This is why you all think everybody sucks, because next to Brady, everybody does suck. And when whenever we talk about any other quarterback, any other good quarterback, you know, even Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers over the years, they're like, oh, well, he takes too many chances. He's got a little far of him, and Aaron Rodgers can't win on the run. And it's like, everybody sucks next to Brady. And, you know, never mind Jared Stidham, this poor kid. If he's really the next guy, and then it's, you know, he's almost anointed. Like, Bill drafted him to be the next guy. He passed on all these other players so he could be the next guy, so he's the next Brady. And then he gets off to a slow start. Ooh, you know, that could leave a mark on the kid. And it would be nice if they had... Now, see, I don't mind Hoyer, Maz. I don't. I think they can win with Hoyer. Not at a high, high level, but they can win. It'd be nice to... If they had an Andy Dalton or they had another guy like that, I think to sort of soften the blow, get in between Brady and Stidham, or, you know, I just think if they had a little more of a buffer, they'd be okay with that. To be 31st in the league at the position, wow. Talk about a sea change. Talk about going from one extreme to the next.
I mean, just look, way too far. Way too far. $3 million a quarterback, the most important position in sports, and that's what you're going to commit to it. This is part of the reason why a lot of people out there think that they're tanking, and they're not. Okay, but this is why people think it. $3 million a quarterback. I mean, that's to me, that is unheard of.
Okay, they go to the bottom of the league at the position. Has Bill taken it too far? Your thoughts, 617-779-0985. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet
an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Andy Dalton released Thursday by Bengals, signed Saturday by the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Dalton played college ball on the other side of the Metroplex, Fort Worth, TCU, not just Frogs, Horned Frogs. Signs a one-year deal, $3 million guaranteed. Incentives could more than double that since he's all-time leader in TD passes, made expendable by several seasons out of the playoffs, and, of course, the team drafting Joe Burrow number one overall. All right, Jeremy, let's talk about Dak Prescott's backup instead of Dak Prescott's contract. Why is this a natural fit here?
Well, it's funny, John. I checked with a Cowboys source. They said Andy Dalton made them jump onto the free agent market because they were going to stand pat coming out of the draft. So Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, players like that, they weren't really going to pursue. They were going to roll with Cooper Rush as a backup and see what happened. But Andy Dalton is highly regarded in this league. You know he can be your backup, but you know he can start games and win them if you need. And so the Cowboys just thought you combine that with his history in Texas. He was a natural fit for them. And so they pursued this pretty quickly. I don't think many people involved thought it would get done this fast, but here we are.
Before I go to your phones, good signing for Dallas, Mass?
Yeah, I think so, given where they are, right? It just gives them an option if they have a huge contract problem with Prescott. So you got a veteran guy there that's, you know, been around a little bit. He's got experience. That's a team with big expectations. It at least buys them a little time and obviously gives them leverage in the negotiation. But, you know, given what's out there, yeah, they needed a guy that was going to be a backup. Again, to bring in a guy like Cam Newton wouldn't have made sense for them. So, but Dalton fits.
If you're a Cowboys fan, you hope you never see him. Come on.
Well, if you're Andy Dalton, what makes more sense for you, New England or Dallas?
Dallas.
Well, I think his chances of playing here are better.
Yes.
That's what I think.
And I think here. I think here makes more sense. I think here makes more sense as long as he had an honest chance to win the job. And if he had an honest chance to win the job, let me ask you this. Would Andy Dalton win more games in Dallas or in New England if he started all 16 games, Murray?
Oh, probably New England, because he would have a chance to play here. I just say Dallas because it's close to home where he grew up, and it's more money. So I go with, you know, the fact he's probably not going to see the field there. You know, go with the soft landing. So that's why I said Dallas. But he would play more here and probably win more games.
So I think go ahead.
No, I was going to say I lean Dallas here because I think Dallas is a more complete team. And so obviously they got a new coach there. I mean, I think the division blows.
Yes.
So I think that he probably has an easier schedule. So I would say Dallas, but I think his chances to play here would have been better.
Right. So I haven't seen Dallas's schedule. And New England has the hardest schedule in the league going into the year. So whatever Dallas's schedule is, it's easier than New England's. So I don't know. I think that's a close call. I mean, obviously I think he'd be set up better here with Bill. Bill would put him in a better position to look better. Cause I just think he's a better coach than Mike McCarthy. But certainly Dallas has more around him. And I mean, it's a close call. That's a close call for Andy Dalton. I don't think New England would offer him $3 million a mess. So, I mean,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. That's what I'm worried about is that I look at it and say, he'd have a better chance to play here. I hope this wasn't about money. I hope the Patriots didn't offer him $1 million. And he said, well, I'll take the three with Dallas because I'll take the money. Like, if the Patriots offered $1 million, that's just not realistic.
Do you think New England was one of the five teams that Florio talked about?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
So to me, the million isn't outrageous. If Jameis Winston gets 1.1, Maz.
And again, and what's his name got it with the same amount last year with L.A., Blake Bortles. Like, right. That's what I thought the baseline was. Like, it's $1 million.
Me too. So I don't blame him on that. Okay, your calls, as promised. Ron in Medford, lead us off. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, fellas, I think that Dalton winning in Dallas isn't a bad thing. I mean, you got a kid there who wants megabucks, who's done literally nothing. He's accomplished and achieved zero. I mean, who knows if they don't hardline Dallas and he holds out. And I mean, they're the best offensive line in football. He's got probably the best back in football. Got guys to throw to. You know, it's not a bad spot for this kid, especially if he gets to play.
Well, if he gets to play. I think Dallas would win games with Andy Dalton. I do, now that the coaching's different. And not that McCarthy's Vince Lombardi, but I think he's a pretty big upgrade over Jason Garrett. And hand the ball off, be protected behind that offensive line, chuck it up to those weapons. Didn't they just draft a receiver in the first round, too?
They did, yeah. They took, what's his name, Murray?
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, so just chuck it up to those guys. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think Andy Dalton would do well in Dallas if, providing he plays. James in Dorchester. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, this is directed towards Phil. Guys, I don't get your take because you spent the whole offseason bitching about how, you know, you're complaining how if Stidham's not ready, then you aren't ready to stay. And if Stidham's not the guy, then you're losing confidence in what they're doing. And now that they're saying he's the guy and he's going to start, now you're saying that's the problem. Like, I just don't get the take.
You're saying I'm being inconsistent?
Yeah.
It's possible. It's possible, James. I was kind of rooting for the story of Andy Dalton. But look, the best news, and I still feel this way, the best news for the Patriots is if Stidham is the guy. Right? I mean, that's obviously it. Okay, the question is, how exactly do you transition him? How exactly does it look early on? What puts him in the best position to succeed? He could still be the guy and still not be ready in his second year. Garoppolo wasn't ready. Aaron Rodgers wasn't ready. So how exactly does that transition happen, and what does the quarterback room look like? So the best news is if it's Stidham, for sure. And the best news is if they can win games with a low salary number in the quarterback room. That's actually how you really make some noise in that league, Maz, when you don't have to pay your quarterback and you can pay everybody else. You know, a lot of these teams run into trouble when they have to finally pay the quarterback. Look at the Rams. Look at the Seahawks. You know, the Chiefs are going to run into it. So if you get quarterbacks, that's actually can be a good thing. So, like, that's the best case scenario. Have they left themselves a little thin? That's sort of what I'm driving at, James.
Yeah, so again, you know, they could still be down at the bottom of the league and paying Andy Dalton $3 million. That's all I'm saying. I hope it hasn't reached the point where they're in such dire straits financially because of, and I don't want to focus on the dead cap money, but expenditures, okay, Antonio Brown, things like that, that they're in such a dire spot that they can't, you know, they won't extend themselves for Andy Dalton, the $3 million. And Mike, just quickly, to your point, Baltimore is 28th in the league at quarterback. Kansas City's 27th.
Exactly.
Right? So both of those teams had fabulous years last year because they have quarterbacks on rookie contracts.
And they can still add. So that's, you know, that's a sweet spot. You want to be down there. But to the call's point, it's fair. I was rooting for the story of Andy Dalton, of a lot of people getting upset. And that would have been fun to see if Bill could have won with a guy that you think absolutely blows. I was rooting for that story. What's best for the team is if Stidham's a guy. Steve in Rhode Island. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for getting my call. I think Bill thinks that he can win with his defense and he can win with a mediocre quarterback. That's what I think. That's what I think he's thinking.
Yes, me too. Me too, Steve. And if you say mediocre, maybe system quarterback is more fair. Okay, so does Bill think he can win if he just has a quarterback who runs the system? Yes, I think he feels that way. And I'm fascinated to see how right he is. How right or how wrong he is.
I think it makes it more interesting that he's, you know, that, again, I felt this way after the draft, that he was screaming at everyone, it's Stidham. After Dalton now goes to Dallas, and they were probably in on him, but at a certain price, he is telling everyone again, we're going with this kid. I know he's an unknown. The expectations aren't that high, but we believe in him enough to be a game manager, and we're going to try to win on defense. And I'm okay with that. I think it makes it more interesting.
Yeah, and we say this a lot on this show, okay? Follow the money. They have the second highest paid secondary in football. So, and I was looking at some of this today, and those are the ones that stick out. They're one of the cheapest at quarterback, and they have the second most expensive secondary in football. So when you look at it that way, yes, of course, they're leaning on their defense or leaning on their secondary. Absolutely. The question is whether they've gone so far at quarterback that they really don't have enough there.
Have they taken it too far? That's the end. You know, that's the question. I'm okay with the general direction. I am. Have they just, again, taking it a little too far with we can win with anyone at quarterback? Carl in Connecticut. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You guys are really killing it day to day. Felger, I completely agree. With Stidham being the guy, that's the best case scenario. Maz, you really don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if you've seen a Cincinnati game over the past 3 to 5 years, but Andy Dalton is a trash can. He is awful. They are in last place for a reason. They picked up Joe Burrow because of the failures of Andy Dalton. He would not have improved New England at all. Bill would get roasted if he was going to bring in Andy Dalton to try to bridge Brady to Stidham. Are you serious? They would go 0-5 and he would lose everybody's trust.
Go ahead, Maz.
Okay, as opposed to who? Hoyer? So this is my point, and look, the caller's right. Dalton was horrible last year. The game that they played the Patriots in December, oh, my God, did he suck. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen a quarterback play. He was absolutely putrid and god-awful. But he would come here, he'd have Belichick as his coach, he's costing you nothing, and he's better than Hoyer. So that's my answer, okay? And I just think that Hoyer's not competition for Stidham. Hoyer's a doormat. He's a freaking, that's a get-in free coupon. That's what that is. There's no competition for Stidham. Of course he's going to be the guy.
And again, this is no longer our story, but I'll just answer the caller. And that is, I don't think Dalton sucks. I think he's average. I think he's Joe Blow average. Joe average. And I put more of the Cincinnati failures on the coaching and the organization and the culture than I do on that quarterback. I think if Andy Dalton was given a really good team and a good coach, he'd win playoff games and he'd be just fine. Not great, because he's not great, but I think he's that guy. And so, you know, we'll never find out here. So that we know. We will never find out. Much to most of your delight, including Big Jim Murray, who has an update right here. We'll continue with your calls at 617-779-0985. A quick Bruins minute as well, right after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports. Springfield.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, real quick Bruins minute. Late in the show on Friday, the Bruins announced that they re-signed Yaroslav Halak. A backup goalie, sort of a under-the-radar signing, but I think is kind of significant, and I found interesting, and I don't know, maybe a little disappointing
Maz, did you ever thought on it first before I went?
Well, so I was happy to see it. I mean, I like Halak. I like what the Bruins have at goaltender. I do wonder what it means as far as long-term for Rask.
Okay, go ahead. What do you mean by that?
Well, so there's been speculation that Tuukka was going to retire at some point, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I wonder, I don't know, maybe the Bruins have some inside info there and they're safeguarding themselves so they have a veteran at goal if Tuukka walks.
So that to me is, that would be, well, not good news if Rask retires, but different than what I was thinking. In other words, let me just cut to the chase. I'm they need a young goalie in the system, right? They need the next guy. To be ultimately for when Rask moves on. And Rask has even intimated he may be done at the end of his contract, which has another year to go after this. So it's, you know, I'd like to see something in the pipeline is what I'm saying. You know, very simple. And the fact that they're bringing back Halak at 35 years old tells you they may not, whether it's this Dan Vladar, he's this giant Russian dude, 22-year-old, you know, big Russian guy.
From Maine that they love, Swayman.
So Swayman, I thought, was a guy that they really liked. Again, Maine. Jeremy Swayman. And then there's also someone named Kyle Kieser. I'm not sure his background, but it's been a while. I mean, when's the last time they had a young goalie up here that was on the come? And, like, I don't think they've developed a goalie. Have they developed a goalie in the last decade?
Good question.
Under Rask? No.
I mean, Khudobin was a very good backup for him. For years, Halak has been excellent, but those guys are veterans. Have they developed a goalie in the last decade?
No.
I mean, I don't think so. And you look, you could argue that Tuukka wasn't even theirs, right? But I'll give them Tuukka.
Wait a minute. Didn't they have Binnington for a minute?
Oh, my God. He was on loan, right? He was still, right? You remind me of that.
Yeah.
I think it was St. Louis's property, but we allowed him to play for us for some reason. But I don't know. Like, to me, I think you need to identify a guy and have a guy. Unless they don't have a guy, and then that's not a good story. That's what the Halak thing says to me, that they don't think they have a guy to be there next year. And so that makes me wonder, do they have anyone in the pipeline for when Rask is done? And for as, you know, hot and cold as Bruins fans are on Rask, he is a legit franchise goalie. He has stabilized the position for, you know, going on a decade now. And, you know, I'd hate to see what life is like without you can say what you want about his postseason stuff and all of that. I get it. But to have no goalie is a really horrible place to be. And I just wonder, do they have anything in the pipeline? And that's my thing on Halak.
Well, again, the hope is, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know much about Maine hockey, but, you know, a month ago that Swayman signs with the Bruins, and you read up on him, and it sounds like he's the guy that they're looking at as the potential future goaltender for this team going forward over the next decade. But who knows? You know, I don't know. I don't watch college hockey all that much. I'm just going based on what I read. This deal on Halak, though, with other teams that need a better backup or even a solid goaltender, I just feel like he was easily going to get 2 years from some other team. If this all, you know, we were playing out, we were actually going to have a real off season and everything was on track. So I just thought it was smart in terms of locking him up for one more year. And he is as solid a backup you can find in the league. I didn't think it was anything beyond that. Like, if he went out in the open market, he was going to get 2 years from some other team.
I don't think people realize how good he's been. His first year with the Bruins last year, Halak posted a 936, and I'm reading from Fluto in The Athletic, a 936 5-on-5 save percentage in 40 appearances. That was the fourth highest in the league among qualifying goalies. That was the fourth highest figure in the league. This season, Halak's 5-on-5 number has dipped a little bit to 924, but that's still better than Binnington, Carey Price, and Carter Hart there in Philadelphia. Fluto says there's no question that Halak's consistency and competitiveness has elevated Rask's game to elite status. In 2018-19, Rask made 46 regular season appearances, his lowest sum in an 82-game regular season. Because of Halak's performance, Rask was fresh enough to shine in the playoffs when he played all 24 games. This season, Rask has appeared in 41 games when the pandemic brought the NHL to a halt. Only ex-partner Anton Khudobin has a better 5-on-5 save percentage than Rask right now, so Rask is the second highest 5-on-5 save percentage in the league. He has an .876 high-danger save percentage, Maz, trailing only Jake Allen, who has played in 17 fewer games. So Halak has been one of the better goalies in the league on his own, and I think he's elevated Rask to be, you know, among the best in the last 2 years. That's among the best two-year back-to-back performances Rask has given you his entire career, and it's because of Halak. So I get it. I get why they want to stay with him.
But couldn't you say that any backup would bring that out of Rask? Does it have to be Yaroslav Halak? You know, if that were a young kid, and you know, I say making less money, it's not like Halak's killing you. His contract is 2.25 for that extra year, but if he plays in 10 or more games, he gets an extra 1.25. So it's really 3.5. You know, if you had a young kid, couldn't he serve the same purpose at less than $1 million, and then you have the next guy? Like, that's what I'd sort of like to see with the Bruins at this point.
Well, sure, but I'll tell you, they've had, you know, you could argue they've had the best goaltending situation in the league over the last 2 years. I don't think that's a stretch. Now, oddly enough, I mean, we were just talking about what the Patriots have committed to quarterback. It's among the lowest in the league. The Bruins are among the highest to goalie. But I'm okay with that. Like, it's such a critical part of the whole operation that I don't mind them extending there a little bit to get the goaltending they're getting.
At least you're getting the production. You know,
right.
I mean, they're paying the most, but they're also getting the best goaltending. So,
Correct. Okay,
you get what you pay for. You look at a team like, Montreal and Carey Price, who I love, but, you know, that team outlays as much in net as you do, and they don't even make the playoffs. So, like, that's a team where I'd look at, is that money well spent? Here it's money well spent. Fine. Just in general, do you realize the Bruins are in pretty good cap space? I was reading again The Athletic, and they ranked all the teams' cap situations in the league. And they had the Bruins as a top 10 team in terms of cap space, because they have the ninth most cap space going into next year. And they write that you can honestly argue that the Bruins have the best cap management in the league right now, with few misses and a lot of hits. And again, they have the ninth most cap space in the league. Here are the teams ahead of them. You ready? And this was before the Halak signing, okay? So I don't have the updated number. But before the Halak signing, they had just under $12 million, okay, going into next year. The only teams that had more were San Jose, Vancouver, Minnesota, Florida, L.A., New Jersey, Detroit, Ottawa. And I can sum up those teams by suck, okay, suck, 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 suck. It's all the doormats. And you have top 10 cap space going into next year, and you also have the best record in the league. And that's why The Athletic says you can say the Bruins have the best cap management in the NHL right now, which, talk about a sea change from the Peter Chiarelli era. So this is the best thing Sweeney's done. He's cleaned up the books and kept him a contender. It's a pretty neat trick. Like, he's done a really good job of that.
And that's good news in terms of them, you know, being able to re-sign Torrey Krug. But whether or not they will, I think, is maybe a different story if they think he's worth it. But they have the money to do it.
They have the money to sign Torrey Krug. The question is that smart business? Is that smart business to give a player like that $8 million a year when you still have to pay McAvoy coming up? And would you be better served spending that? I mean, you could, if you let Torrey Krug go, you'd have enough money to go out and sign a premium free agent winger. And I don't know what that list looks like. I'm just saying, you have money to improve this offseason.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing about that, too? When you talk about the Bruins and the cap management, they've signed some bad deals.
Yeah.
It's not like they've, you know, and I'm not saying they have a million of them, but Backes was a bad deal. Boleski was a bad deal. You know, Jimmy Hayes was less money, but that was Sweeney, too, wasn't it?
Yep.
So like, you know, there have been some bad contracts in there where you say, wow, that's a killer. And that, but Mike, this all goes back to being able to produce your own players, because they're cheap. This is the key to the whole thing. If you can keep pumping guys out of there, and the big ones have come on defense, obviously McAvoy, Carlo, those guys, if you can pump out affordable players at, you know, at various points on the ice, and you're gonna manage the cap just fine.
Okay, there's your Bruins minute. Add it to the list here. We can get back to your thoughts on Dalton and the Patriots passing on Andy Dalton. Have they taken it too far? Has Belichick taken it too far with the system quarterback thing? His quarterback room is Stidham, Hoyer, and then some no-name undrafted guys. Bill taking it too far. You want to weigh in on the Bruins? You can. All of it with your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yarrow, congrats on the new deal. What does it mean to you to be able to play for the Bruins for not only this season, whenever it resumes, but also another year? And what has it meant to you to wear a Boston Bruins uniform?
You know what? Since I came and joined the team, It's been a special group. I think I blended in with the guys, and we had some success. But I think everybody knows that we have unfinished business, and I hope the season can resume, and we can start off very finished. And like I said, I've had a lot of fun last two seasons, and hopefully the Sixers will continue.
There's Halak right there. Never mind the season. Not even giving the update on the NHL season. If you care, I still feel like they're a million miles away, man. I still feel like these leagues, they're just, coming with ideas. Someone shoots them down. They come up with ideas. Someone shoots them down. No one's willing to sacrifice yet and make the hard calls. And it's getting a little frustrating as we started to hit on last week. But the story with the NHL is this, that the players had pushed back on the idea of bubble cities and being quarantined and all of that last week. And the NHL then quickly started to look at home arenas. And then that was scrapped. According to Larry Brooks of the New York Post, the NHL's focus has returned squarely on its four arena plan following a flirtation with the concept of resuming the 2019-20 season in the team's home cities, sources have told the Post. The notion of playing in each team's home rinks, albeit without fans in attendance, was considered in the aftermath of last Wednesday's virtual meeting of the joint NHL-NHLPA Return to Play Committee, but has been abandoned. The union raised numerous questions about the plan under which the athletes would be subject to quarantine in their hotels in assigned centralized locations and thus separated from their families for up to 3 or 4 months. This has become like the... It's become the dividing line, right? We have a report coming up for you from the NBA where the players have said they don't want to be separated from their families. So now the NBA is trying to model some bubble city where the families are included, Disney World, etc. We've already heard the player, the Major League Baseball players push back on the quarantine idea. This might be the fault line. Either these players want to be quarantined, and if they don't, it ain't going to happen. Like it feels like it's coming down to that, Maz.
I mean, really, again, if they don't want to play, and it's really that simple, if they don't want to be away from their families and play, then there's going to be no season. And so I think ultimately they're going to be able to resolve this on some level. And then hopefully we have, advancements in testing, whether it be viral antibody or whatever. But I mean, I didn't think the players would dig in on this as much as they have, because at the end of the day, I thought they all wanted the money.
So, again, we'll see how that all plays out. All right, back to your phones here as promised. Pete in Delaware on Andy Dalton. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike, first of all, in the NHL, Justin Trudeau threw a big wrench in that where you have to quarantine for 2 weeks coming into the country.
Did he say that? Was that today?
Yeah, go look it up, guys. I saw that, and I just rolled my eyes and said, oh, boy.
Why do you have to quarantine for 14 days?
I'm just saying it's there. All you got to do is Google it. He said it. So,
all right.
So hey, on Andy Dalton real quick. I just think they missed an opportunity. I think Dalton's a pretty good quarterback. He's decent. But here's the thing. He was a legitimate starter in this league. He's had bad games, good games. He's been booed. I just think he could have helped Stidham more than Hoyer can as far as being a starter with all the pressures and failing, succeeding. I just think he would have been better for that. And I also think he's better than Hoyer to compete with Stidham.
Okay, so, Maz, do you agree that Andy Dalton would have been a better mentor than Brian Hoyer?
No, not necessarily. For me, it's got more to do with his ability to play on the field. And so we were comparing earlier to some of these backups. Like you mentioned, Winston got $1.1 million, right, which is nothing. You say, why would you give this guy more? He's been around longer. It's been 9 years. He's won more games in the league. And so, look, you're telling me today, if I'm a franchise, which player will I take a chance on? I hate Winston, okay? But objectively, Winston, of course. He's younger. He was a number one pick. Like, there's more to like there. But Dalton's accomplishments in the league are going to garner him a higher salary. He's a better player than Hoyer. If they're just looking for someone to help Stidham think it out and knows what the Patriots is about, well, then Hoyer's probably the better fit. He's been here and Belichick loves him. So, you know, Hoyer's a better fit in that way, but I think Dalton's better for the team.
Yes, Murray?
Sorry, Maz, I thought you were done. I found the quote, which was from today, from Justin Trudeau on the NHL returning. At a strict minimum, anyone who arrives from another country will have to follow all the rules of quarantine in an extremely strict manner. So, yeah, games in Canada, any U.S. players or anyone else that's been here during this whole lockdown, yeah, you're going to have to shut down for at least 2 weeks if you're going to try to play any games there.
Again, I'm reading it here. I guess it's been posted everywhere. It just happens to be in the Philadelphia Inquirer. The NHL could face another hurdle if the league decides to continue the season in the near future, getting non-Canadian resident players across the border to join their teams. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Sunday that players would, at a minimum, need to follow quarantine protocols if they were to arrive in Canada while the border remains closed due to the pandemic. And then it's that quote, the first half of the quote, he said, I think it's a question we'll have to look into. Certainly, at a strict minimum, anyone who arrives from another country will have to follow all the rules of quarantine in an extremely strict manner, as Murray just said. But we're not there yet in our discussions with the NHL. All right. I mean, if that's the way it's going to be, it's a non-starter. I mean, what? I don't want to think about this live on the air. You send them there for 14 days, they quarantine, then they have to stay in Canada. They can't come back here. You can't go back and forth. Right, it's either you're either on one side of the line or the other, right? Like you just is that right?
No, yeah, no, really. Like, don't you love that? So the Bruins, Patrice Bergeron, let's just say is in the Montreal area. The Bruins say, you know what? We got three games in Canada. Stay there. We'll play the U.S. schedule without you. Then we'll come back and get you, and then we'll figure out the 2 weeks after that, you know, later on. Like, it is. It's preposterous. The only way they're going to be able to get around this is, again, if there is ample testing and the government's complying.
Well, like, right. But if Trudeau's going to stick to this, then the NHL has to either get all of their players on this side of the line or all their players on that side of the line, and then they have to stay there. Right? Like, there's no, you can't bop back and forth, which, again, I think is freaking silly. It's Canada. We're not talking about the, you know, communist China's border or the Soviet Union border. We're talking about freaking Canada. It's another state. It's Canada. But, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, pick a side of the line and then we'll go there.
America's hat.
God dang it. Jay in Boston on the Bruins. Go ahead, Jay.
Amen.
Hi, Jay.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
You know, Torrey Krug, signing him will be great and all that. I love him. But he's asking for a little bit too much money. I'm calling this. What do you think about Matt Grizzlick? You know, he's kind of small. You get him going on the speed and you develop him on the power play. You're looking at another Torrey Krug without taking that much of a bite on the money. You know what I mean? So I'm going to hang up.
Okay, babe.
What do you think?
Yep, I like Matt Grizzlick. I like him a lot. I've come to learn, though, he's not Torrey Krug.
He's not.
Krug's a bad little man. You know, he's, for all of his shortcomings, pun intended, he's a tough guy. He fits their culture. Like, he's a big part of why they are what they are. So I've sort of come around on Krug when it comes to that. Now, am I going to, you know, make him a top 10 paid defenseman in the NHL? I don't know if I want to do that. But Grizzlick is not, you know, he'll give you 70% of what Krug is.
He's a $3 million player, tops.
So, you know, if you think so, in other words, I used to think you could kind of replace Krug with Grizzlick. I don't really feel that way anymore. So you're taking a hit there. But I mean, I think the team shares the same reservations about paying Krug that I do. They haven't even had discussions, you know, even through all of this.
the reporting is that they haven't even had discussions on it.
I mean, if the number ends up being, you know, 7-8 million, which are some of the numbers that were being tossed around there for a little while, I just don't see where the Bruins can do it. And look, forget Grizzlick. It's about McAvoy. If McAvoy turns into the player they think he can be, then they can absorb the loss of Krug on the power play.
Quick 90-second update from Murray. There are no commercials, and we're back here on a re-entry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.